Why is one afraid of the dark? It's an easy question. It's the unknown. It's not necessarily the color that one is afraid of. It's what could be lying in that ether of the darkness. It could be something as simple as a stool that one is afraid to trip over. It could be something as an animal in the room, or a person, or just what if. All of the dark places our mind goes, places that are really, in many cases, unreasonable. Places of lore, of myth, of things that you're likely to have never experienced, because that's where those things lie, in lore and myth, right? It's a survival technique, obviously, to be afraid of the dark. And it's one that we still obviously carry with us very much to this day. Being afraid of the unknown. We can do that with emotional situations, we can do that with physical situations, but the unknown is a scary thing. It can be exciting, but it can be damn scary as well. In today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear about two stories of the unknown. A young man stalked through the forest late at night by some sort of beast that may very well take the life of the dog that's trying to protect the man who's fleeing from the beast. And then the unknown in a house. Family member that no longer is living there, trying to protect their family from the thing, whatever it is that torments them day in and day out. But what is it? How do you fix it? How do you find solutions when you can't even put a name to it? Those are the stories that we got for you today on EPP Bonus episode number 342 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Have you ever been in the forest at night or a large wooded area? It can be a scary place. It can be scary not only because of the animals that come out at night that make it their daytime, the nocturnal creatures that are there during the day, but we don't necessarily see them. But sometimes the people too. Sometimes there's people in the woods that come out at night. That can be just as scary, if not more. Sometimes the sounds that animals make can be remarkably human-like. Sounds of raccoons crying can sound like children crying in the woods. That can be extremely disturbing when it seems like there's crying children high in the branches above one's head on a starlit night. Little eyes peering down at you. Bushes being ruffled near you. What's over there? Is it watching me? Is it coming towards me? Am I scaring it? So many questions. There's a lot of unknowns everywhere in the woods, even in daylight, but at night, it adds that much more mystery. What happens when you come across something that, even in daylight, if you saw it, you couldn't identify it? It's not something that's in a book that has a name next to it. At least not any encyclopedia or dictionary. Only books of lore and myths and legend. And when you come across one of those things of legend and realize it is flesh and blood, how do you react? How do you make sense of such an encounter? That's what one person had to do. And that's, of course, what happens in our next story. Take a listen. Nothing haunts a man more than the decisions of the past. The world threw something impossible for me to comprehend at an early age. I'd soon find out life is not all rainbows and cotton candy. Many people came here to see the majestic mist rising from the mountains early in the morning and think of it as pure beauty. But all I see is gases, the hills belch up from whatever they swallowed up the night before. Because for me, the mountains have tainted my very soul. I left holes in my heart forever. The wilderness can grant many gifts, growth, new life, clarity, and a vast number of opportunities. But also the wild can suffocate you in sorrow and drown you in dread, given the right circumstances. You ever asked yourself what you do in the event of needing a helping hand in a dire situation? This was a difficulty that I was faced with, which changed my life forever. I grew up in the foothills of eastern Kentucky, what I consider to be the base of the Appalachian Mountains, on my grandparents' farm mostly. I spent most of my childhood learning lessons of life with my grandfather. The value of a dollar was also how I had fun digging ginseng roots, hunting for substance, and wildlife population management in our area. My grandfather was a fur bearer, as was his father before him. Anything that was hard work pretty much is part of my upbringing. Looking back on those years, I'd not trade them for anything. We went to church every Wednesday and Sunday, always had a lot of cousins around to play with, and the creeks and streams around the farm. I was taught early survival in the wilderness. The teachings I learned never came easy, but always held lasting impressions. We only went into town a couple of days a week when we visited the feed store for our livestock, and sometimes I'd rent a movie from the video store uptown. That was as close as I got to the big city lifestyle as a child. The main thing we did most nights when the whirlpool started singing and the lightning bugs came out was to gather our hound dogs and travel to the Daniel Boone National Forest to go raccoon hunting. We did this because, as I said, my grandfather and I were fur bearers. The raccoon population in our area is very thick, so this was part of our lifestyle to chase that hard-earned dollar. As for wildlife management population control, because raccoons can carry and transmit more types of diseases than most animals in our area. We had two dogs at the time. Our young dog's name was Bo. He was a red tick hound, the breed of the animal, beautiful in every way. He was mostly red in color with a few white specks on him, almost the color of strawberry wine. Our older dog was a treeing walker hound. Around here, we just call his breed Walker. And his name was Old Jake. He was a giant of a dog for his breed at somewhere around 120 pounds. He was a tricolor dog, meaning he was black, white, and tan. He was a great hound and had a heck of a good nose on him for tracking critters through the mountains of the Daniel Boone National Forest. Old Jake was not afraid of anything at all. Once he'd track a raccoon to a tree, it was his domain. On this night, it was the opening night of raccoon hunting season in the state of Kentucky, October 1st, 2003. My grandfather and I had decided to go on a hunting adventure into the Daniel Boone National Forest. He was in poor health, so I always had to handle our dogs and take care of them. We went out on our nightly hunts. We got in a bit of a late start that evening, so we had to travel off the beaten path on a six-mile road called Shooting Range Road near the Clear Creek and Leatherwood area of the Daniel Boone. Once we got to the very end of the road and it came to a dead end, we parked our truck and got out of the vehicle. Dropped the tailgate down, opened the dog box door. After that, Bo and Old Jake jumped to the ground, ran straight down a creek into the forest and started hunting for a raccoon scent. A short while after, Old Jake started barking on the scented trail. He smelled, and then Bo joined in with him, making that sweet southern hound music that whistled a grave song through the crisp night air. They tracked the scent of the raccoon they were chasing up the side of a mountain and over a cliff a good 700 yards from the truck. Shortly thereafter, the raccoon got tired of running and decided to climb a tree. Both the dogs let out what's called a location bark, letting us know that they found the animal location they've been chasing and will continue to bark until I get to the tree, in which they are because this is how they were trained. My grandfather looked at me and said, "Sounds to me like they found it. Go on, grab the gun. Get out there, get out of the truck, and take the two-way radio with you so we can keep in touch." Because, as I said, my grandfather was in poor health and could not travel on foot extremely far distances. And I did just as he said. Strapped the gun to my back, grabbed the two-way radio, started walking into the forest towards the location of our dogs. As I made my way in, I heard a pack of coyotes off in the distance start barking and howling, going on crazy, as a coyote pack does. Grandfather called me on the radio and said, "You hear that pack of coyotes? You better get in there quick to the dogs. That way, when they see you, they'll run away. I know that might sound crazy to a lot of people, but in our area of Kentucky, coyotes are hunted hard because they can cause harm to livestock, so they're mostly nocturnal in our area and terrified of people. In almost every case, when a coyote sees a human, they run as fast as they can to get away from them in Kentucky. After that, I started picking up my pace, trying to get into our hounds. But as it was too late, just minutes later, the pack of coyotes had made it to our hounds, and within seconds, a massive fight broke out. I heard them grab a hold of Bo, and then he started whimpering and took off running to get away from them. But not old Jake. He held his ground right next to the tree. I believed he did because, in his mind, he might have thought the coyote was coming to take the tree away from him. But really, they just wanted to eat him. Old Jake fought all over the place with a pack of coyotes. They were holding his ground for a while, but soon after, the whole dynamic of the struggle changed, and the coyotes were starting to fight old Jake as a pack. My grandfather called me again. "Get in there quick, they're going to kill him." So I started running through the forest, scared for my dog's life. Suddenly again, the fight changed, and Bo had circled back around and came back to help old Jake fight the pack of coyotes, and once again, old Jake was holding his ground. Or so I thought. My coyotes were whimpering and screaming. It was just pure mayhem in the woods, an absolute battle. As soon as I made it to old Jake, and once I shined my flashlight on him, he had a coyote by the throat that let go once he saw me. He then took off running along with the rest of the pack. I walked over to old Jake, bent over, patted him on the head, and checked him out, showing a few cuts and gashes on him, but overall, he was in good shape, meaning that he was just in a fight with a pack of coyotes and lived. Just in front of us was a huge black oak tree, and behind it, I heard a coyote whimpering and doing what I would call a blood gargle, choking on its own blood. Old Jake and I walked around to check it out, thinking that around this tree, we would see that Bo had killed a coyote. But once we could see, I noticed that it was not Bo. It was not Bo at all. It was a great big old dog, broad, bigger than the size of a Saint Bernard. And it turns and looks at me while holding a dead coyote in its mouth by the rib cage, and no part of the dead coyote was touching the ground. I stopped and just looked, as if we were just standing feet apart from one another, astonished. And that's where we're going to pause the preview portion of EPP Bonus episode number 342 of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to hear the rest of it and all of our bonus episodes, all 342 of them, and get access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever, and become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. You can do that over at patreon.com/realghoststories or on our website, ghostpodcast.com. Two different platforms, both content there for you to binge away on at your leisure. Literally, I'm not even exaggerating. It is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. That's what we've managed to create here over the last 8-9 years. I know. I never thought I'd be able to say that, but it is what it is. Get access to all of that, our ebook, our audiobook, both Amazon and Audible bestsellers. You get those for free. Also get you all sorts of other extras throughout the years as well, exclusive video content and more. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of it. Get 1 month free if you sign up for an annual membership. And help keep us on the air. We do greatly appreciate your support. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.